Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be joined by Grammy Award-winning singer Mandisa, who will discuss the dark night of the soul she experienced after a friend's death from cancer, and the way her family and friends rally to restore a sense of hope and faith in her life. Stay with us, Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi. Grammy Award-winning Christian singer Mandisa is known for being an upbeat and positive person grounded in her love of God. But when her friend Lakeisha died of breast cancer in 2014, a year after giving birth to a son, the singer fell into a deep despair. She isolated herself from family and friends, gained almost 200 pounds, and even contemplated suicide. The past few years have been a tough journey for the singer, but she has once again emerged as a person of hope, as is evidenced on her album, Out of the Dark. Before I talk with Mandisa about her struggles and her crisis of faith, I want to share a clip from that album. Here is Mandisa with I'm Still Here. I'm Tony Rossi, you're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and we just heard a clip of the song I'm Still Here from Mandisa's album Out of the Dark, and I am happy to welcome Mandisa to the show right now. Mandisa, it is so nice to have you back on the show after so many years.
I know. Thanks, Tony. It's good to talk to you again.
You too. Well, this album, Out of the Dark, it's a work of art, and it sounds like it's a work of both pain and hope coming out of your life. So tell me a little bit about what has been going on in your life in the past three or so years that inspired this album.
Yeah. So my last album and song was Overcomer. And it was inspired partly by my friend Keisha. Mm-hmm. She was pregnant with her second child when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm. And so I just, you know, as a friend, I remember walking with her through that and really wanting an album of songs to help her stay in the fight till the final round. Like I remember her getting her chemo treatments. And I really wanted to I wanted her to be the first person that heard these songs, because for me, she was the inspiration behind this entire album.
Yeah.
So her son, Brennan, was born beautiful and healthy, and he just turned 4 in June.
Wow.
But Keisha had 1 year with Brennan before she went home to be with the Lord. And so I just, it's not the way that I thought the story was going to end. It's not how I thought things were going to happen. I really believed that God was going to heal her here on earth as I was praying for her. And so it just kind of ushered me. When she passed away, I was angry at God and disappointed. And, you know, I look back on that time and I did not deal at all with my grief or with my anger. I stuffed it down with food, which is what I had always done.
Mm-hmm.
And so after losing over 120 pounds over the years, I gained it all back.
Wow.
And 75 more over the course of 3 years, and just went into a deep pit of depression where I shut out absolutely everybody who loved me, including God, over that 3 years process.
Wow. I'm talking to Mandisa. Her album is Out of the Dark. One of the songs on the album, it's powerful, hauntingly beautiful, Prove Me Wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems like such a cry from the heart and soul.
Yeah.
Talk about what went into that, because you were a co-writer on that song.
Yeah, that was the first song that I wrote for the album.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote it with Cindy Morgan, who is not just one of my favorite songwriters, but just one of my favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
So it was actually her idea to write the song. I probably would not have gone there unless she had wanted to, because she had heard me speaking about my anger with God. And I just remember getting together with her, and she said that I said something when I was talking about Keisha. And I don't remember saying this, but I guess I had said that I was so angry at God and I dared him to prove me wrong when I thought of all the doubts and all the questions that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how that song was birthed. And yeah, the first line is, you could have healed her. You've done it before. And I think anybody who has faced the death of a loved one knows what it is to, first of all, if you're a woman of faith or a man of faith, to pray so hard for somebody and to not see the answer that you wanted, but to know that God, who is all-powerful, was able to heal, but for some reason chose not to, I just hadn't dealt with that. And so it was really cathartic for me writing that song because it was the first time that I actually dealt with my anger and my disappointment. It was the first time that I actually allowed myself to feel those feelings. And I feel like God taught me a really powerful lesson in the middle of that, and that is not to shut out all of that anger that we feel, but he actually wants us to bring that to him, because if we feel it, the safest place to bring that is to him. What I did was I shut down and I didn't deal with it. And so actually Prove Me Wrong being the first song that I wrote kind of began the process of me being honest with the Lord and really letting him shine that light back into my life, because it was so dark and so overwhelming for such a long period of time that this was the first glimpse of light that I was able to see.
Yeah, and as I was listening to the lyrics, I thought, gee, these sounds almost like Job-like from the Bible. And when I looked at the liner notes, I saw you have a reference to Job in the liner notes. So did you really relate to Job after this experience?
Well, less than I relate. I mean, Job went through it.
Yeah.
It was more that I was confused and angry. And if there's anything that we can learn from Job, it was that he brought that to the Lord as opposed to stuffing it down. And I think the same thing about David. When I look at, you know, many of the Psalms that he wrote, he did not shy away from his feelings. He let the Lord have everything. You know, why don't you smite down these enemies? And why are you letting this happen? And how could you allow this to happen? Like, he did not shy away from what he felt. And I really think that there is something holy and good about that. It kind of feels like we shouldn't say these things to God. Mm-hmm. But when I read those scriptures and when I read how people who walked closely with the Lord, how they walked in relationship with him, it wasn't that it was always good. It was that they were always honest. And so I put that scripture in there for anybody who knows what it feels to have kind of a dark night of the soul, that you sometimes feel like you can't say these things to God. But if there's anything that he wants us to do, it's to, if we feel it, then to bring that to him.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Mandisa about her album Out of the Dark, which was inspired by a painful period in her life in which she lost one of her best friends to cancer. And I mean, you're a public Christian. You're known for being upbeat and positive. So when this time hit, you went through a depression of sorts. Did the fact that you were known for being positive and public and you couldn't live up to those expectations, was that like a weight of responsibility on you or something?
Well, it's part of what led me to not want to be around anybody.
Yeah.
I just thought, people know me as the girl who tells them that it's a good morning and you're an overcomer and this is going to make you stronger. And I can't actually let people see what I'm feeling right now. And it's part of why I retreated into that dark place. And now that I'm out of it, if there's anything that I have learned, it is the power of community. It's the power of letting people, you know, it doesn't have to be everybody, but having a group of people who love the Lord and who you can let see all of you and to not shut out and to really be honest, if with nobody else, then with the Lord. Like, you can let him into those dark places.
Yeah.
But he calls us to community for a reason. And so I think, you know, my loved ones who chased hard after me and essentially said, we love you just as you are, but we love you too much to leave you there. That's just one of the biggest lessons that I've taken away, is that when my very super single and I am an introvert and I kind of re-energize by time alone. Mm-hmm. But when I start to go to that place of isolation, that is just a warning sign for me. That's a big red flag where I realize, okay, I can't do this. And, you know, I try to be honest, like on social media and everything, but I really have to have a group of people that I can be completely honest with, and that they know when I send them a little text message that it's like a little, you know, stop sign with a line through it. Mm-hmm. That is their sign. Mandisa needs help. And so I just have little things that I've put into place where I don't go into that dark place anymore. Like, I have my SOS sign that I can send to people now.
Well, that's great. And along those lines, the first track on the album is not a song. It's a series of voicemails. Talk about that.
Yeah, the voicemail intro, I really wanted people to get get a snapshot of what life was like for me, because all people knew for the most part was that I kind of went MIA for 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I wanted people to hear some of the messages that I was receiving during that time. And yeah, I had people sending me voicemails. I had text messages. And at one point, some friends of mine were banging on my door and I was shutting everybody out.
Wow.
I wanted people to hear that because I wanted them to know this Out of the Dark is not just an album title. Like, this was my life. And I felt like there's no better way to let people hear that than to actually hear a snapshot of some of the messages that I was receiving during that season.
Well, when you isolated yourself, what did you do with your time?
I sat on my recliner and I watched television and I ate. I mean, I ate and ate and ate. And I mean, Tony, you know, we've talked over the years. Food has been where I had run to my entire life for comfort. You know, it's called comfort food for a reason. And here's what I've learned. It is a momentary comfort that really leaves you feeling so empty in the end. But it's what I have always done. It's what I've always gone to. And so I just sat there. I feel like through escaping through television, be it reality TV or drama or whatever, that I could escape my own life and just kind of go into this imaginary world that I was not really a part of. And so, yeah, I mean, for hours and hours, I would sleep all day and then I would just get up and go to my recliner and sit there and eat and watch TV.
Wow. Well, I'm now curious, in terms of your TV choices during that time, were you watching stuff that would maybe lift your spirits, or were you kind
Oh, no.
It was the Misery Loves Company.
I think that it was just, it's not even necessarily, I mean, some of it I would not watch now because it definitely had some dark scenes to it, but I think it was just escaping, honestly. It wasn't even necessarily that it was horrible programming. It just, it wasn't beneficial.
Okay, okay. I'm Tony Rossi. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and I'm talking to Mandisa about her album, Out of the Dark. Her website is mandisaofficial.com. Now, one of the things that I was surprised to learn is you even contemplated suicide at one point. How did you manage to avoid taking that drastic step?
Well, so here's what I have come to learn, especially since being lifted out of the dark and looking into the Word of God. The enemy has had the same tactics for a long time, and he did the same thing with Eve. You know, he knows the Word of God, first of all, and so that's why we have to know it, is because he will take the Word of God and he'll twist it just a little bit. Because I want people to know, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are somebody who is living, trying to live a life that is holy and pleasing to the Lord, the enemy is going to come harder after us than anybody else. And so his strategy with me was what he did with Eve. It's what he did with Jesus as well in Matthew 4, where he will take just a little bit of truth and he'll twist it. And so with me, it was, Mandisa, God does not want you to live in this misery and this pain. He says in his word that he wants you to live an abundant life. So if you were to take your life right now, you could be living in eternity, living that abundant life with Jesus right in this moment. And so it was a little bit of truth, but he twisted it just enough for his perverted purposes. And, you know, I think first year one, I probably was quick enough to say, get behind me, Satan, and to go about my business. Year three, it was feeling a little more tempting to me. It was starting to sound a little bit more truthful to me. And it's not like I had, you know, something in my hand was about to make it happen. It's just that when I heard that little voice in my mind's eye, it was just a, that's kind of true. It was just me getting to that point where I was starting to think about it a little bit. And so it was around then that I went and I saw the movie War Room, and it was one of the only times that I left my house, and I only saw that movie because my song Press On was in it. And I remembered when I left the theater, I was not happy with the movie because I felt like it was a happily ever after. Like, these people prayed and they got everything that they prayed for, and I just remember thinking, that is not reality. And but when I walked out of the movie theater, my car had a bunch of sticky notes all over it, and my friends, about eight of them, had been camped out of that movie theater for 4 hours because I saw two movies that day. I can't even remember what the other one was. But they had an intervention for me, and they basically forced me to go and get counseling. I wasn't happy about it at the time, but I look back at that and I just feel like God put it on their hearts because it was getting to a really bad place. And had that not happened, I don't know that I would be here today, because I was just starting to contemplate it. And it was in that moment there where my friends were the literal hands and feet of Jesus lifting me out of that dark place.
Wow. So, I mean, you have a song on the album called The One He Speaks Through. Were your friends at that time the one he spoke through?
Absolutely. Yeah, right before that song, there's an interlude called Moth Disa. And that is one of my friends, Deneen. She actually sings background for me. And so, people can hear that on the album, but it was essentially, I wanted people to know it was people like Deneen. It was people like my eight friends that encircled me at that movie theater. And it was people, strangers, were reaching out to me on social media. I went very quiet on all my social media platforms, but I was amazed at how many people were tweeting me, for instance, and saying, hey, you've been on my heart lately, and I'm praying for you. These are people that I don't know at all.
Yeah.
And so I know that God really did use the prayers of the righteous people, that they availed much in my life, and that God really does hear those prayers, and he really does honor those little acts of obedience. When somebody's name flashes in your mind, or when you see something that you just can't shake, I really believe that God is often using us to speak to this watching world, this needy world, that he wants to use us to be his hands and his feet, because that was my story. Like, my loved ones really were the ones that God spoke through to get my attention that day.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Mandisa about her album, Out of the Dark. You have another song on the album. It's called Unfinished, and it's about this idea that we're all a work in progress. Yeah. Really, this whole world is a work in progress. Why is that idea so important to you?
Well, because when I started coming out of that dark place, I was riddled with so much shame. Like, I thought, how could I have ignored God like this for 3 years, and how could I have allowed the enemy to take me to such a low place and make all of these mistakes and put back all of this weight? I felt horrible about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the message of Philippians 1:6 really was a lifeline for me, that I can be confident in this, that God, who began a good work in me, will finish that work when Jesus returns. That ushered in such a sense of grace and so much hope, knowing that it is God who's going to finish the work, and then I'm not going to be finished until Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
And so there's just something about that message that is just a relief, and it is such a message of hope for people like me who can look in a mirror and rattle off all of the things that we do not like about ourselves. There's so much hope in being able to look into the mirror of God's word and say, no, this is what God says about me, that I am a masterpiece and I am a work of art, and that I'm just unfinished for right now.
Yeah. Well, before this whole thing happened, did you have any experience with or really understanding of depression the way you experienced it now, maybe not in your own life, but in someone else's life?
I really hadn't. I mean, I think it is not something that I heard talked about very much, which is part of why I was a little bit scared to talk about it when I started coming out. I had experienced, you know, seasons of sadness, and I just remember coming off of American Idol. I went through a difficult season then, but it had never been for this long, and it had never gotten this bad. And I think now that I'm starting to talk about it, I'm hearing about it more. I think it's just because God has opened my eyes to it. I feel like people have always talked about it, and maybe it's because I've been there and done that maybe now my ears are a little bit more tuned in to hearing. But
sure.
I just feel like people need to know you're not alone. If you face this, that you're not a mess, you're not, you know, a failure, that, man, if you are somebody who's walking with the Lord, you can actually kind of expect the enemy to be coming full force for you. And so I think it's why I feel so passionately about sharing my story, is because I want people to know that if you have faced something like this, like I have, that you're not alone, that you are a work in progress. And I also want to encourage people who have loved ones who are facing depression, because I shut out everybody who loved me for such a long time. And I want them to know not to ever give up hope. And you keep chasing hard after your loved ones, because it really was because my loved ones did that for me that I'm still here. And so you could be that lifeline for them too.
Absolutely. And I think, just going back to what you were saying, I do think Christians sometimes are tempted to put on a happy face,
yeah,
you know, to not not acknowledge the feelings because you figure you've got Jesus and that should be good yeah. enough. And it's like it's a failure of your own faith. But, you know, we're all human. We all yeah. go through things. So, you know, what would you say to those people about asking for help, even though yeah. even if Jesus is a part of your life, like yeah. you said, you were going to counseling. You know, what if we were real, going back to an old album yeah. title? You know, what would you say to those people who were nervous about doing that?
Yeah, well, I would say this, that we are called to community for a reason. And so please do not discount how powerful it is to reach out and to lock arms with somebody else. In my situation, my depression, I feel like, was very much based on circumstances. And so for me, dealing with my grief and talking with a counselor about that was great for me. I'm not well-versed in all of this, but I feel like there is a physiological form of depression that can be helped with many different forms of treatment, including medication. I personally did not experience that, but I've got some loved ones who have. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like talking to somebody can really be beneficial to you, just as it was for me, and getting the help that you need. Because the fact is, we're not called to walk in seasons of darkness, but because we live in a fallen world, it happens to a lot of us. And so just know that there is help for anybody who needs it. It's really just a matter of reaching out and saying, I need that help. That's going to usher you into a place of being able to receive it.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Mandisa about her album, Out of the Dark. In this world, at least, there is always going to be a part of our faith that remains a mystery. And yeah. you went through that with Keisha's loss. Mm-hmm. Are you okay with the mystery aspect of faith at this point? Yeah. Maybe not okay with it, but it yeah. just kind of you're dealing with it.
Well, it's funny you say that, because there are several things that I feel like God is teaching me right now, and that is a big one. It's looking at things through the lens of eternity. And I feel like, especially for those of us in Western culture of Christendom, that we look at things simply from what our eyes can see. And so with Keisha, it was a shock to my system, because I really felt like I heard that God was going to heal her. Mm-hmm. When it didn't happen the way that I expected, that it's not managing my grief and my pain that ushered me into that place. What I feel like God is teaching me now is to look at everything through the lens of eternity. When there were some Coptic Christians in Egypt that were murdered, you know, recently martyred mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By ISIS, it's easy to look at that situation, and my default could easily be, God, why would you allow that to happen? Mm-hmm. But when I look at that through the lens of eternity, those Christians are no longer in pain. We do not need to feel sorry for them. They were ushered immediately into eternity with Jesus. And when I look at things now, there's a little girl, Brooke, who had been battling with neuroblastoma for most of her life, and she just went home to be with the Lord last week. Mm-hmm. I can easily look at that and go, God, why would you allow this single mother, who Brooke was her only daughter, why would you allow that to happen? But man, when I look at things through the lens of eternity, it changes everything about my perspective. Brooke is not in any pain whatsoever. And her mom is, because she's still left here on this yeah. fallen world. But mm-hmm. I feel like God is teaching me to have the lens of eternity. And so it's not something, I thought that my foundation was much more firm, but man, God is really teaching me right now to change my perspective and to have an eternal perspective. And so that's what I'm learning to do. There are some things that when I look at how things went down with Keisha, yeah, I would love for her boys to still have a mom, and I would love for her husband to still have his wife. But when I look at it through eternal lenses, there is just something about resting in who God is and trusting in his goodness, even when I don't understand his plan. And so that's a big lesson for me, and something I'm still learning, but I feel like it's something I'm growing in more than I was 4 years ago. So yeah. I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I've asked you this question before on one of our previous interviews, but it seems more appropriate now, because you know, everything the Christophers do revolves around yeah. this idea of it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. And,
yeah.
and you certainly have been through that darkness, and you cursed it at the time. So
yeah.
just talk about that idea of lighting the candle. Mm-hmm. How are you doing that now?
Well, so one of the things that I feel like another thing that God is teaching me right now is what are we praying for? Like I love Ephesians 6 that talks about the armor of God, but at the end of it, Paul is asking for prayer, and he's in prison as he's writing this. He talks about how he's in chains, and his prayer request was not that God would remove the chains. His prayer request is that God would help him to speak boldly about who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And so when I think of how I can change what I'm praying for, I believe still ask God for the things that will change our circumstances. Absolutely. But more than anything, I want to pray prayers that help me to look at things through the lens of eternity and that really matter in the long scheme of eternity. And so I feel like I'm trying to light a candle in the darkness by shining the light of what God has done, how he has lifted me out, and praying that God would use my story and the mistakes that I made, and hopefully how I'm still here and how God is using it to comfort other people. I'm hoping that that will be a flash of light for people. That's one of the things I'm sharing, is that the three ways that God lifted me out of the dark was, one, the family of God and knowing how important we are called to community. Two was to focus forward and not stay stuck in the mistakes of the past. And the third one is a flash of light. It just takes a flash of light to dispel darkness. And for me, those flashes came in the form of my loved ones. It came listening to Christian radio one time, a song by Casting Crowns called One Step Away. Mm-hmm. That the message is, you're one step away from arms wide open. It's amazing how much light can dispel darkness, and darkness cannot be shut out with more darkness. You know, it's the only way to dispel darkness is with the light. And so I'm hoping that I can be a flash of light for some people. I'm hoping that my songs on this album and that me sharing my story is going to be a flash of light. And I know that we're called as brothers and sisters in Christ to be those flashes of light for other people, because you never know what somebody's going through, and we could be the one that God uses in order to pull somebody out of the dark.
So well put. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I've been talking to Mandisa about her album, Out of the Dark. It may have been inspired by a dark time in her life, but this is ultimately a hopeful album, and Mandisa will bring light to her music, will bring light to whoever listens to it. And thank you so much for sharing your story. I am so glad that you're still here to talk to us, to teach us, to share your wisdom, and God bless you in everything as you move forward.
Thanks so much, Tony. It was really great talking to you as always. Maybe not so long next time.
Okay. Great to talk to you too, Mandisa.
Thanks. See you later.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
The grace of God has a way of sneaking up on us. And if we're not paying attention, it might even slip right past us. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Opening Yourself to God's Grace. It will help you become more aware of the moments in your life when God makes his presence known in unexpected ways. Moments that can draw beauty out of brokenness and allow you to experience the depths of his love. To request your free copy of Opening Yourself to God's Grace, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.